And welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We are standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So let's dive in. I'm really pleased to introduce my next guest expert, Deborah Moorhead, who will be talking today on the topic, three keys to attracting the love of your life by putting yourself first. And this sounds like a really juicy and powerful topic. I'm so looking forward to this. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Deborah. So imagine having the life and relationship that you have always desired. After being stood up on her 30th birthday by her drug-addicted boyfriend, Deborah Moorhead was determined to figure out this relationship stuff. And she did. Along with her 23 years experience as a therapist, her number one best-selling book, Conscious Love, Enlightened Relationships and Soulful Sex, and her effective Happy Relationship Success System, she can help you have the power to create your own happy, amazing relationship. Deborah has a unique gift of looking right into your heart, recognize your core needs, and then helping you transform yourself and your relationships into what you truly desire. As an expert therapist, speaker, and outstanding teacher, she has condensed her education, her personal, professional, and client experiences and created an effective and efficient happy relationship success system that will transform your life. So I'm so happy to have Deborah with us today. Hi, Deborah, and welcome.
Hi, Cami. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I'm really, really thrilled to be a part of this.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to have you with us. And just so that our audience can learn a little bit more about you, can you tell us how it was that you came to be a therapist?
Sure. Well, what you just read kind of is a good example of that. So basically, several years ago in a relationship that was one of those really, really horrible relationships that I'm sure many, many of us can relate to, right? I was in one of those relationships and I really lost myself in that relationship. I gave up my friends. I gave up the things that were important to me. I didn't know how to look for whether this man was a good man. And I just jumped in, of course, fell in love, and you just kind of ignored everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So,
and yeah, I allowed some very, very horrible treatment. And I finally realized this was kind of the end. I didn't say this, but the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back was he had stolen from me on a few different occasions. Wow. For his drug money. But the final straw, this tells you the timeline of this, but I had borrowed a VCR from my father.
Yes.
He stole that and I was not able to get it back. So I actually had to go and tell my father that I had, that I no longer had his VCR. And that was at that point, that finally was the breaking point for me. It's like, what the, bleep,
yes,
are you doing, Debbie? And so I went on my own path. I moved to a different state only because that I wanted to go to school to get my master's degree to become a therapist. I, of course, got into my own therapy, and now I just have the sheer pleasure, delight to get to work with amazing women, to be able to really help them to know how to, in effective ways, not lose themselves, know how to appropriately put themselves first so that they are happy with themselves first, and then they can create the relationships they desire.
Oh, lovely. Well, thanks for sharing your story. I think so many of us can relate to having that kind of relationship where we get to the point where we say, wait a minute, what the bleep am I doing? Yes. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes.
And I love your topic that you're speaking about today with us. And why don't we start with this idea of putting yourself first, and how is putting yourself first going to attract love?
Yeah, that is the topic that I kind of put in. You can tell by my story that that was really what I had to learn myself, because I obviously was choosing to put the person I was in relationship with before me and their needs, and, you know, and I did not set good boundaries, and obviously all of those things. So if you want to really have, I mean, all of us have that, you know, even if we're not way into that romantic, you know, perfect, ideal, happily ever after type story, we all have that picture of, if I'm going to be in a relationship with this person that I love, we have this picture of a really a beautiful, tender, kind, loving, nurturing relationship. Here's the problem, right? If you don't know how to do that for yourself first, then what we do tend to end up doing is we end up, you know, kind of giving up ourselves and, oh, what do they need and what do they want? And, oh, I don't want to upset them. And how do I make sure to take care of them? All because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid they won't like us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a problem. And I can't tell you, you know, as a therapist working on the other side of this, the number of women that come and see me at the point where either they've just found out that their husband has had an affair, they're questioning the relationship altogether, or the husband's already asked for a divorce. And time and time and time again, I see that they had lost themselves. They had given up what was important to them, how they knew that they deserved to be treated, but they gave up on that. And so I, both for women on the, you know, in the relationship, and in this case for women before they get in the relationship, making sure that you know how to put yourself first. You know, I mean, I know this is a metaphor most people have heard, right? But I it's such a true metaphor. When you're flying in the plane and the steward or stewardess says, you know, put your oxygen mask on first. There is a reason why they say that, because if you don't do that, you will die, and you're certainly not going to be able to help or be available for anyone else. And I like that metaphor, because it is a reminder that we've got to learn how to be happy within ourselves, how to love ourselves, how to prioritize ourselves, put ourselves first. And only when we do that, then you're going to be able to find and keep a really successful relationship. So
what would that look like in practical terms? So if someone is out there dating and, mm-hmm. you know, enjoying the company of someone and wondering, maybe this is the one, what are some examples of some things that a woman could do during the dating process? Maybe situations that might come up where she can really tune in to decide or learn about how she can put herself first. What would that look like?
Yeah. So what's really wonderful is, as we get more into this, I'm going to be answering even in more detail each of these steps. And then the gift that I'm going to be giving has even a more very, very specific detail of that. But what I would really say, and it goes against everything that we want to do, but in a general sense, what I would say and remind, you know, all of the women that are listening out there, is that if you think about at the beginning stages of a relationship, I mean, first of all, we have tons of, you know, chemical stuff going on in our brain, all sorts of different interesting things. But what we know is the person that this man is falling in love with is the whole picture of us. He loves that we have our interesting hobbies, and that we have our friends, and that we have our interests, and that we have our, you know, the career or the work that we're passionate about. He loves all the whole picture of us. And what you want to make sure is that you do not just start to, you know, just, oh, well, you know, he wants this, so I'm not going to go take this class that I'm interested in anymore. Or, you know, I don't want him to be upset if I'm out, you know, several nights of the week or one night of the week or whatever, so I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to give up this. Or I used to go out with my friends, you know, once a month and go away for the night, but I'm not going to do that anymore. And that you slowly give those things up. And that is always, more often than not, the death of the relationship.
So really allowing yourself to have this vibrant, full life, and you're cultivating and nurturing a partnership.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's the only way to do it. And again, at the beginning stages of the relationship, I get that we want to spend more time together. That's part of how we build the relationship. But what I often say is, if you were doing something before, and there's more reasons why, and I'll talk about it later, but if you were doing something before, you had a class that you were going to before, an interest or hobby, keep doing that. Even though everything inside you says, oh, I'd much rather spend the night with him, you know, or spend, mm-hmm. let's go, I want to go out on a date with him, you keep to those commitments.
Well, I also feel like it makes the woman so much more compelling and attractive that she's lit up and excited and inspired about her life.
Yes.
And it's not looking to kind of have this person be the center of her universe. He's part of her universe. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, you know, I'm off to saying that saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And that is true for relationships. Do not put all your, you know, don't put everything into that, because that puts way too much pressure on that this relationship has to be perfect, and it's never going to be perfect. So don't do that.
Can you say more about that? About this, the idea of pressure, the person who you're in partnership with, feeling that pressure. What? How could that happen? And what would he be feeling?
Oh, sure. What? First of all, it's just natural and normal that once we are past the giddy teenage stage of getting together, you know, in the mate selecting part of it. Once we're past that, we kind of move into, okay, now I'm in this more, you know, we're learning more about each other. We're thinking this is going to go forward with that kind of stuff. We now have some of our blinders off because of the chemicals that were in our brain going on. Those have lessened. So our blinders are off. And then what we start to do is we start to see the imperfections, the flaws of those kind of in each other. The problem is what we end up doing is we end up putting all of our, you know, the expectation. Well, we all know this, right? Well, if he really cared about me, he would know to do blah, blah, blah. You know, if he loved me, then, you know, he would, I can't tell you the number of times, you know, women at the beginning, because men are courting you and they text regularly nowadays with texts, right? They're texting regularly. And then as things get more into a settled relationship and more secure relationship, they don't text as much. And all of a sudden women are panicking about that. So that's just a small example of that. But it really is that idea that I have these expectations in my mind of how he should be if he really cared for me or if he really loved me. And then, of course, when he doesn't do those things, and if I've given up my friends and I've given up my interests and I've, you know, all these things I've given up and he's not doing all those things, then the energy and the pressure even is greater on him, and that will not be a good that will not turn out well.
Just as you were saying that, I've given up my friends, I've given up my class, I felt the pressure in my body. imagining being the partner to someone like that, feeling like, no, I don't want that responsibility.
Yes.
Please. So I can see how that would be really important to not do that.
Yeah.
So you talk about there's a first key involved with all of this. So tell us, what is that first key?
Yes. Now, what you're going to see with all of these keys, because again, it's about putting yourself first, right? So it's these keys are all about things you need to hold on to or know about yourself or do so that you're able to really evaluate and make a best choice in how you're going forward. So the very first key is to make sure you do know what your non-negotiables are. Now, let me talk about that and why that's so important. We often are we're so excited that a guy likes us or is interested in us that we give up the things that are really, really at the core of who we are and our values, and the kind of the black and whites. I'll talk about the non-negotiables, but we give those up because he likes me, and that's, you know, then it'll all work out. So that's the problem. That's the problem that ends up happening. So knowing your non-negotiables, those are the must-haves. I absolutely must have this, and the deal breakers, those kind of ideas. It's not a long list. It's not like he has to be this tall and his hair color has to be this or those kind of things. It's the black and white things. Things like, if you absolutely know that you want to have children, then you do not give that up.
Yes.
He doesn't, right? If you already have grown your children and you don't want more children, and he's wanting children, then that's another issue. It can also, so the non-negotiables have to do kind of with your belief system, your values, your lifestyles. I was working with one woman when I was helping her to create her non-negotiables, and she loves animals. She has several dogs and cats and other animals, and she loves animals. And she was even at one point considering being a veterinarian, though she went a different direction. And that was one of her non-negotiables. She had to have someone that also loved animals as much as she did, because she knew that would be a part of her life and she wanted it to be a part of her life. It could also be those absolute, deal breakers. If you grew up with an alcoholic parent or a parent who's drug addicted, one of your deal breakers may be somebody who does drugs. So it's that just becomes really important. So you need to know those. They're usually not tons. They're probably somewhere between 5, 6, 7. There's usually not tons of them, but you have to know those. And then when I work with women, I basically say, in the first 3 dates, you need to be asking questions that help to let you know if your non-negotiables are being met or not.
Can you give us some of those? So how is what's the script for this?
Yeah.
And a lot of women that I've talked to, they feel like, oh, I can't say that. That's too soon to say that. So how do you recommend that they approach that?
Sure. So I'm certainly not saying, on the first date, you go, do you want to have kids or not?
Right.
That would not go. The man would be running away. They don't know you well enough, right? But you can ask questions like, it just flows. You'd be listening to the conversation. It would flow from the conversation. You would ask questions like, if you find out that they have a niece or a nephew, right, because of their older sibling or something like that, you say, how what's your relationship like with them, and what do you do with them, and then you would get this flavor or this sense of, do they like kids? Do they like doing stuff with kids? If you were talking about, one of the things I like to do is I like to really volunteer at a low income preschool, and this is about the kid and how they respond back. You just would bring the topics up. And in some way that has to do with life. So that way you're gathering the information that you would know. The same thing like with alcohol or drugs. It's like, you know, you're not going to come right out and say, do you do cocaine or something right. like that? But, you know, you maybe, you know, I mean, shoot, I'm in California right now and it's like the easiest thing right now because marijuana is legalized in California. So that's an easy conversation to start to have. So what do you think about this? And da, 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 and you would gather the information. So
and then watching if you're at dinner and they're having drinks mm-hmm. and he has several cocktails. You yes. can watch. So it's almost like you're doing a little bit of investigating in a sense and really Absolutely. Deep listening, mm-hmm. going a little deeper than superficial.
Yes.
Sounds
yes.
like. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just going to say the reason that I say within the first three dates is because two reasons. The first is, now, sometimes we can be so excited after the first date and whatever else, and we feel like it's a match. But usually for women, we need between 3 and 5 dates to decide whether this is, you know, a good match for me or not. And so within 3 dates, you'll have a sense and you'll know, okay, I know my non-negotiables are met or not. And the second reason is because if you don't take the time to know your non-negotiables and you get into the dating and then all of a sudden you're past the beginning dating and now you're like seeing each other regularly and then all of a sudden you find out some really important non-negotiables, I know this sounds funny, but you've wasted time, right? And
well, also I think at that point what can happen too is that you can talk yourself out of
your non-negotiables.
Yeah, your non-negotiables by like, well, it's things seem to be going well and you're off and running.
Yes. So,
yeah. I can see why that would be really important.
Yeah. So that's why I really do push it. And I'm like, in the first 3 dates, you need to have a sense. I think that's so important. And again, see, that's making sure I know what's important to me and I'm going to hold to that. So that's a way that you're putting yourself first.
Wonderful. And do you want to share more keys or do you want to talk about what evaluating has to do with dating?
So actually the evaluating is actually key number 2.
Oh, perfect.
So okay. they fall in there. So the second, and you actually, I loved what you said. It was such a perfect example, right? You're out and you're having dinner and, you know, how many drinks is he having while we're out at dinner? That's what you want to be doing on a regular basis. And what I tend to just give a kind of a timeline is, and you do it beyond that, but so once you're past those first 3 dates, now you're dating, you're liking him, you know, you're hopeful and all that. But what I want is for you to keep in mind for about at least 6 months, and sometimes it's longer, that you are evaluating this. You're evaluating this guy. How does this guy treat me? Is he emotionally mature? Is he? And this is, we'll talk about it when we talk about my gift, but I actually have 7 red flags that I talk about when I work with people. And what I've done, we know out there, you can find articles on red flags and all sorts of different things. And a lot of times those red flags are stuff like, well, does he still live with his mom? Or does he, you know, those kind of things. But what I want is for you to look at the emotional maturity. I'm a therapist, so obviously that's where I'm going to go, right? I don't want to just know. I mean, the behaviors will tell you a lot, but is he emotionally mature? Is he able to say, I'm sorry when he's made a mistake? That's so important. And it becomes, when you get into communication skills, that's actually one of the number one reasoning abilities, is the person can actually recognize that they're wrong and be able to apologize. Because I think all of us have probably been in relationships or have had been in a dialogue with somebody that never took responsibility for their own stuff. So it's those kind of things. Does he take responsibility for himself? I often encourage the woman to find a space or an opportunity where she says no to something that he's wanting, or, you know, kind of says, well, this is what I want, you know, that's maybe the opposite of his, because you'll get a real sense of how does he handle that. And I think that's so important. And
oh, that's a really great tip.
Yeah. So, and we'll talk about it later, but you want to remember, here's the bottom line. And if you choose to get my free gift, you'll have the step-by-steps of, you know, looking at the 7 red flags. But the bottom line is you want to be the one evaluating. And part of that is because I'll share this. There's research that's been done about when we are dating. Well, let's talk about us as human beings. They actually wired people to kind of look at what part of their brain was lighting up. And the research showed, interestingly enough, that the part of our brain that lights up when we are rejected by someone is the same part of the brain that lights up when you believe you're getting stabbed by a knife.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
So that,
I haven't heard that before.
Yeah. So that, as human beings in our survival part of our brain, rejection is as big as, you know, threat of death, right?
Wow.
And if you think about that part of our brain, it's our kind of our people, you call their caveman brain or whatever. It's the hind part of our brain. But when you think about that, it's all about survival. And as human beings, especially if we go back, you know, to hunter-gatherer days or caveman type days, we needed to be part of a tribe to survive, right? You can't be out on your own and survive. So the fear of rejection is, at least in that part of the brain, is that, you know, it is a big deal.
Wow, it's that primal.
Yes, it really is. Mm-hmm. So that's why it becomes so important when you are dating in those 6 months. You're human, like all of us, so you're going to have that fear. And then you're going to have to come back to, okay, wait, I'm not coming from my survival part of my brain. I'm coming from my logical, rational part of my brain. And I am evaluating, is this a good, you know, healthy, emotionally healthy person for me? And it becomes so important to do that. And the way, you know, when I've worked with my 7 red flags, when I've worked with other women, I created even a calendar. So, and it was like date number 1, date number 2, date number 3. And at the end, they had to either sit down on their own or with me or with a good friend, and go over the date in their mind. It shifted from that fear of rejection, the hind part of our brain, to our logical part of our brain, so that we would purposely, intentionally shift ourselves, you know, out of all the, you know, feelings, and I don't want him to reject me and he likes me and all of that, to no, let me get logical. Let me really look at his behaviors.
So, oh, that sounds really powerful. That sounds very grounding, because I know that sometimes women can come out of dates and very focused on, well, what did he think of me? And does he want to see me again? And when's he going to call me? But this sounds so grounding to just go back in your mind and look back at the date, mm-hmm. and to really look at whether or not, okay, well, if he rejects me, I can handle that. I'm not afraid of that. But let me just logically play the date back, and how did I feel? And do I want to see this person again? That's a great tool.
Yes. Yeah. It just becomes so imperative, because otherwise which we do, you know, we just stay pretty blind in the relationship, and because we like them or because we don't want to be rejected, we constantly ignore the red flags. You know, I mean, the number of people I've worked with that are on the other end of the messiness of the relationship, or just the relationship ended and they're coming sad and upset. Once I kind of just support them, but then I get into, well, let's look at some of the behaviors that you saw. And there's always the red flags. Now, I'm not saying here's the truth. So I just want to also say this. None of us are perfect as human beings. So I'm not saying that you'll never see the red flags in the guy you're dating. You will. Just like you'll actually have some of the red flags too, right? Because we're all human beings. It's not the question of whether or not the red flag shows up. It's the question of how does he handle it? And in particular, when you at times say, you know, like you're at a restaurant and he treated the server really, really rudely. And you either that at that moment, or for some of us who have more trouble coming back, you have to come back to address it. But you, when you address it, you say, you know, I really felt uncomfortable and even a little upset when you said to the waiter, you know, you're being so lazy, get over here and help us, right? Or whatever it is. When you actually say that and you say, I need to understand more about what was going on for you. And then at some point you may say, I need in the future to know that when we're out on a date, you're going to be
kind.
Kind. You know, and so the question is, how does he respond to that? You know, if he just gets defensive and deflects, you know, and doesn't take any responsibility, to me, then that's the bigger of the red flags. But if he says, oh my gosh, you know what, I had such a crappy day at work and it was only our fourth date, so I didn't really want to tell you about that. I didn't realize that that had come out in that way. You know, I'm so embarrassed about that. I so apologize that that made you feel this way. You know, I don't usually do that. You know, and that's the difference. And then, of course, you're still looking, okay, let me see if he follows through on those actions
right.
in the future or not. But
well, that's a very generous place to be coming from, because the story that you just told, I think a lot of women might say, oh my God, I'm never going to see him again. That the way he just treated that waiter is so rude that he's not getting another date. But what you just did was so generous. And it also, you talked about earlier about talking in a way where you're sort of evaluating, investigating, really deeply listening. And what you just shared is really like an invitation to him to, in the way that, I mean, the way that you just responded as the date, if someone were to respond like that, I would say, oh, my goodness. Well, I'm going to give this guy another chance. This sounds like a very mature person. And he was so honest and authentic and vulnerable to, you know, tell me that. And that seems like somebody that I can work with here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's because that's what the evaluating is, right? It's not that they're perfect in everything that they do, because we're not either. So if we hold them to that standard, then we have to meet that standard. And
right.
We won't. But it's about how he handles it. And that's going to tell you so much more, not only about his character, but about how he will be time and time again with you. And that's really what you want to be looking for. And it is. I mean, I like that you know, describe it as generous. I don't think I'd ever thought of it that way, but it is. I really believe, you know, as human beings, we need to have empathy and compassion for ourselves and for the person that we're in relationship with while still setting our boundaries. But do you notice the thing is, I had to assert myself. I mean, in that example, I had to come back and be vulnerable while still asserting myself and setting a boundary. And again, that's part of what so often, especially women, but I think, you know, both men and women can do this, is we're like, oh, but I don't want them to be upset with me. And then we keep sweeping it under the rug. And then that's going to become just, you know, when there's a fight, there's going to be a fight, right? Because you haven't brought it up. But you're assertive. You're holding your boundary to what's okay and what's not okay for you, behaviors around you. I'm very much a believer in that we train people how to treat us.
Yes. Yeah. And also it's like you're creating your boundaries and letting the person know what is and isn't okay, and giving them a little leeway that, okay, well, you're telling me that this isn't who you are at all times. Okay. We all make mistakes. We all slip up. And as long as I'm starting to get to know this person, this doesn't become a pattern.
Yeah.
You know, and it reminds me of a date actually that I had many, many years ago. And I was really late to the date. Mm-hmm. It was the first date. Oh. I had had a whole terrible day of all of these catastrophes after another. And it made me really late for this date. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling that, oh God, he's going to be so upset and he probably won't want to see me again. And, but I remember that he was very generous with me and said, you know what? You let me know, you called me, you gave me notice. I really wanted to meet you. Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that, you know, this doesn't happen all the time. And we went on to date for a while after that. And I thought, God, you know, that's how I want to be with people and, you know, giving them the chance. And then if I had showed up again the next time late, then he could have said, you know what, right. This is who you are. And this isn't going to work for me. Yeah. But so.
Yeah. It's very much looking for the patterns, right? It's looking for the patterns. And we all do have our patterns, right? But is the person aware of their pattern? Are they trying to do it a little bit differently? Do they acknowledge it's like, I did it again. I'm so sorry. But they can, you know, kind of course correct, self-correct. That's what you're looking for, because that's going to be an emotionally healthy person. That's going to be a kind of person that you can maneuver, the difficulties of relationships through. And then you get to both, and because this is what I also believe is we have the ability to constantly help bring out the best in each other, right? And this is part of how we do that. And that's what I believe, you know, the relationships that are really, you know, the strong relationships can do. And in the same, right, we have the ability to bring out the worst in each other. So.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. I have talked to people before where they will share that they're in a certain dynamic with someone. And because of the way the other person's behaving, they're showing up in response and feeling like, I don't even know who this person is, that I don't recognize myself. So that can happen.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's really fun when I, because as a therapist, sometimes I also work with couples, obviously. And that's some of the first things that I do is I really make sure I know what each of the core needs of the couples are. And then what are their defenses, their protections. Mm. And I point out, it's very fascinating. It's that that lazy eight, that sideways eight, how our worst brings out the worst in the other person. And then it just keeps it going. So it's, and every couple, it's true with every couple. So.
I love that. I think that's great because, you know, you said before about being perfect. And a lot of times I think with dating world, we can be out there feeling like I'm looking for this perfect person, but not feeling, well, who am I and how am I showing up? Yeah. And so I really love what you're saying that, well, if I'm really showing up as my best, then I will likely attract that and cultivate that in my partner, encourage that in my partner. It's such great motivation to be on our own best, you know, our own growth edge, to be showing up our best, because it's not only good for us. And as you said at the beginning, you know, we're putting ourselves first, but it's also great for the relationship and what we will be attracting. So that's such a wonderful point.
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that, you know, which definitely gets back to why this, you know, I kind of call this, you know, this whole, that putting yourself first, because that's really what this is all about. You know, you need to make sure you know yourself, you have insight into yourself, you know, and then you are doing things to always be improving yourself.
Mm.
And that's what will bring the better relationship.
So. Gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, so let's move to the third key. And I know this is a really important key. So why do you consider this one to be a top priority?
Yeah. So, and it's so funny because everything we were just talking about in this last piece, right? It's basically the third key is make sure that you are keeping your own life going forward. And so I think we kind of started with it, but wrapping it up, why it's so important. So I know I may be repeating some stuff, but the bottom line is, it's everything that we were just talking about. It's that I am this amazing, wonderful, interesting woman. And I have so much to offer the world. And if a man is going to be a part of my life, I have a lot to offer him. And it is a gift that he gets to be a part of my life.
Wow. When you right? just said, okay. You know, before when I was saying, when you were talking about something and I thought, oh, the pressure, I could really feel that in my body. But when you were just speaking, that sounded like such a valuable woman. And I was feeling like, wow, if I was dating this woman, I would be feeling so inspired.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you shared that, because that's the position to come from. Listen, we all and every one of us, right? And especially women who have this perfect image of how we're supposed to be. We all can go down the rabbit hole of, oh, I'm not the right weight, or, oh, this is wrong with me, or this is wrong. We can go down that hole. But we're getting lost in the whole bigger picture of who we are. And when we hold from really that empowered place of, this is the whole picture of me. Because life, when we are happy with ourselves and when we keep going forward with our own lives, and everybody is different about what that is. Recently I've been watching, when I do my downtime, I watch like cooking and baking shows. I just like that.
I love those.
But I love to cook too. But it's like, I've been recently watching, I think it's called the Great Britain Bake Off or something like that, but it's kind of the coolest show. But I'm watching these people who are just amateur at home bakers. And yet, they've joined this competition. But the whole point is, I was watching one where this woman at the end of it, she actually won at the very end. And she said, I will never limit myself again in the future. I can accomplish anything that I want. And I just thought that was such a cool response, because it's like, I've got this, and whatever it is, I mean, that was about cooking and baking, right? But whatever it is, these are some wonderful parts of who you are. And we all have wonderful parts, and we have friends, and we have interests, and we have, and especially me, I'm a therapist, right? So I always think there's always ways that we can be looking at ourselves and growing, in our own personal development. When I am holding on to all of those things and keeping all of those things going forward, that helps me, again, because remember I talked about that rejection, it's like being stabbed, right? That helps me from not getting too lost in the freak out of, but what if he doesn't like me, and I better do this, and I better stop doing this, and I better, it helps us to not get totally lost in that freak out of what happens. So keep going forward with your own life, building you and who you are and all of the amazing things that are part of your life and the gifts that you have to give so many people in the world. And then again, that makes it makes relationships so much funner. And it's just, and you're fun and you're happier. So that's the third one.
Well, I love that idea too. And I've also heard women saying that, well, I can either have this career, this goal, or I can have relationship. And it's like they feel that they can't do both. And so we talk about that. It's like, well, no, you can pursue your dreams, you can pursue your passions, and you can have partnership. Mm-hmm. And the right partnership is going to get up underneath you and your goals and support you even more. But you don't have to wait until this goal's done, or wait until you have the perfect relationship. You can do both. Do you ever hear that with women?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I hear it all the time. And I actually, it's, you see it way more than you hear it, even though, yes, they say that, they think that, but what really it comes out in their behaviors. And that is why, that's why I consider that to be the most important, the priority, because you've got to keep yourself and your life and your interests and your, who you are as a whole going forward. And you should have then a man who supports that. You know, when I was just telling you about this, the TV show I was watching, it was so cool because in this particular show where the woman won, at one point they had done a little scene of the husband, and they had, I think they had three children, and he's like, oh my gosh, and his wife was a stay-at-home mom, and he goes, oh my gosh, now I totally have so much appreciation for everything she's done, because for the past month all I've been doing is, you know, making sure the kids have dinner and taking care of the-. So he had picked up, he was supporting her in her dream of doing this. And he picked up a lot of the stuff at home while she did this. And then it was so cute to see when she won, he was so, so supportive and so proud of her. And that's the kind of relationship we all desire. And that's what you can get. I mean, you've got to keep, you got to hold on to yourself and go forward in with your life and not give it all up for this man and for this fear that he won't like me or he'll reject me if I don't do everything he says or wants or whatever else, or what we think he wants.
Wow. Thank you so much, Deborah. This has been so fascinating and so inspiring and so many great tips and tools. And I know there is so much more, and I know you have a free gift to share, but before you do, any last thoughts on this?
You know, just, I mean, if you take all three of those, know your non-negotiables, go into the position as you are the one that is evaluating, you know, that puts you in an empowered position. And then whatever you do, do not stop growing and living your own life for a man, for a relationship.
Great. Thank you. And why don't you tell us about your gift?
Yes, absolutely. So I referred to it on key number two, but the name of the free gift is the 7 red flags that he's not ready or right for you. And basically, and like I said, they're about emotional, more about emotional health. So like what I did with this was I gave you under each of the 7 red flags, I gave you questions to ask and things to be looking for. Like one of them is, does he play well with others, or he doesn't play well with others? And the questions and the things to be looking at is, who are his friends, right? Because who our friends are is a reflection of us. Does he have friends? You know, what does his friends do? What's that, those relationships? How is he when he's, and this, again, this, the 7 red flags you're looking at like 6 months into the relationship. So you're moving in this direction. So how does he treat his mother? You know, how does he treat his family members? Does he have relationships with family members? How does he treat the servers around you, right? So it's those kind of questions. So that's the first one, you know, does he play well with others, or he doesn't play well with others? And then I go on, and you'll, when you get it, you'll see each one. It's about emotional boundaries. It's about physical boundaries. It's about communication skills. It's about how he treats you. So there's 7 different points, and under each one, I'm very clear in the questions and the things to look for and the things to look out for.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for all of those juicy bits in there and everything that you shared today about how women can start putting themselves first in dating and relating to really call in a luscious love. So thank you.
You are very welcome, Cammie, and thank you so much for putting this together and just creating this place where there's so many different amazing experts I know you're bringing together that are giving such great information to all of the listeners. I think that's such a gift to everyone. So thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. And thank you, everyone, all of the women who are listening and watching. We really appreciate you being here with us for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. after you take advantage of Deborah's free gift, make sure that you check out the VIP package. You don't want to miss out. And you can find all the details by scrolling down below on this page, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. This will allow you to listen back to today's talk with Deborah and to access all of the content from our amazing speakers as much as you like, whenever you like. So have a look at the details below and make sure that you come back to join us for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Take care. See you soon.